Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm pretty sure you all know me, but if you don't, I'm Reverend Jan White, and it's my privilege to speak with you this morning. And this morning I'm going to talk about something that we all do. We do it for different reasons, we do it at different times, we do it in different ways, but we all do it. And here, in fact, are the Skit guys doing it now.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God. O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee, how now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream. God, I just want to be used by you, God. I want
to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and salt and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see. The uno thing on my list is my mom. And so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother. And I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs. And that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps. And she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
So there you have it. The good night God prayer. If I'm going to pray, I have to adopt the right pose, the right posture. So I've got to kneel or I've got to sit on this chair or I've got to do something strange like the guy there, that prayer. Or if I don't have the right words, it's not going to be a proper prayer, God prayer. Or I need a list, a long, long list. So I don't forget anyone, so that I can remember to ask for everyone and everything, that prayer. I don't know about you, I recognise those people. Do you recognise any of them? Yeah? Well, whether you do or not, in some way or other, I feel confident to say that prayer is a part of the life of each and every one of us here this morning. It's human instinct to pray. Even people who've never prayed before, when they're in a really tough place, when there's nowhere else to go, instinctively reach out to God and pray. I want to share a story with you about prayer. This story sends goosebumps up my back when I read it. I hope you feel it too. So one Monday night, way back in 1982, there were a handful of people, less than a dozen, who began meeting at St. Nicholas's Church in Leipzig to pray for peace. The prayer meetings grew in number over the years, and they grew and grew until in October in 1989, so a lot of years later, there was a huge crowd. The police had barricaded the streets and tried to prevent people from coming, but they still came. And after a service, an hour-long service, the pastor led the worshippers outside to join the crowd in the square outside, 70,000 people, to protest against the country's communist regime. It was tense. It felt as if a massacre was just minutes away. There were thousands of helmeted riot police ready to intervene, ready to stop it. But the people walked around the city holding hands and holding lit candles and chanting, "We are the people. No violence. No violence." And then when it came right down to it, the police didn't attack. The police stood aside and let the protesters march by, right by the Stasi headquarters, the headquarters of the secret police. And they marched in safety. The German authorities said later, "We were prepared for everything. We had our plans in place to stop this. We were ready for anything except candles and prayer." Now, that wasn't just a spontaneous flash mob of people who just happened to be there. That was the culmination of years of weekly prayer meetings organised by the pastor of St. Nicholas Church. Soon there were 300,000 taking part in the protests. And the outcome was that the Berlin Wall fell on November 9, 1989, scarcely a couple of weeks after that. And that was just one of many monumental events in the year that saw the Iron Curtain torn down, the end of the Cold War, and ultimately the reunification of Germany the next year on the 3rd of October. So, here's the question. Did prayer bring down the Berlin Wall, change Germany, bring stable and enduring peace in Europe? That's the question, isn't it? The pastor was adamant that without the church, without that prayer, this would have been like all other revolutions before it, bloody and unsuccessful. It would not have happened, he says, without the events that began with that handful of people, sometimes less than a dozen, who faithfully and persistently prayed for peace, who shared their heart's desire with God, who trusted God to act. And God did. You know, when miracles like that happen, the question in our minds always is, well, the question in my mind always is, was God really, you know, I ask myself, was God really answering their prayers? And how you answer that question and how I answer that question. Questions like, and other questions like, does God really hear me when I pray? Does God answer prayer? Depends on how you answer two other questions. Two of the biggest of the big faith questions. Who is God? Can I trust God? Does God listen when I talk to him? Do I have God's attention? And who am I? Am I really God's beloved son, God's beloved daughter? Am I really? Who is God? Who am I? Because those are the real questions, the big questions behind does God answer prayer. Now, when I read Luke 11, I reckon that Jesus thought that too, that those were the big questions. In Luke's gospel, we keep hearing, keep reading, that Jesus talked to God about everything in his life. He prayed in the early morning, before a long day, an exhausting day. He prayed in the evening, after a long day of teaching and preaching and healing. He prayed at all the key moments. At his baptism, when he was choosing the 12 disciples who would share in his ministry and mission, at the transfiguration, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he faced betrayal and death, at the cross as he died. So then in Luke's gospel, we hear Jesus talking to his disciples about prayer. They ask him to teach them to pray, and he gives them some words to use. But then he tells them this story. Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and you say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." Jesus says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs." So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will have been opened. When I'm reading that, I'm thinking, what if one of Jesus' disciples had said to him, "Jesus, we see you always talking to God, but what about us? Does God answer our prayers? If you teach us, will God answer us? Will God listen?" And that story just sounds to me like what Jesus would say to them if they did ask that question. Does God answer our prayers? And that story answers the big questions behind that question. The questions like, how much does God love me? Do I have God's undivided attention? Can I trust God? Now, the disciples knew that in a Galilean village, a host would be deeply shamed. It's not like, you know, if someone came to visit you and you were a bit short on something to eat and you had to give them baked beans on toast. It's not like that. It was a shaming thing not to provide hospitality for a guest. It was an unthinkable thing. You would just not do it because you would be shamed in the village forever. So this man will do whatever it takes to overcome his neighbour's reluctance to help, to get the bread he needs. He will be as loud and as persistent as he has to be, and he is, so that finally the neighbour gets up, goes down, locks the door and gives him the bread, just for peace. But, Jesus says, and sometimes we miss this line, but Jesus says, God is not like that reluctant neighbour. God's not like that. With God, when you ask, you will receive. When you seek, you shall find. When you knock, the door will be open. When you knock on God's door, it will be opened. This is what Jesus is saying. You know, when we want to talk with our friends about something that's important to us, they might give us the time, but they might say, don't bother me now, this is not a convenient time. I'm busy. I'm doing whatever. But God never would do that. He's saying our prayers are not effective because of our cajoling, our nagging, our persistence. God is not worn down because we ask and ask and ask, like the neighbour in the story was worn down by the needy friend's persistence. Our prayers are not answered because we finally find the right words to persuade God. And the success of prayer does not depend on the time of day or the posture of the prayer. Our prayers are answered because of the nature of a generous God who loves his own, that's us, that's you and me, an attentive Father who listens, always listens, who is on our side. Jesus says it would be unthinkable for God to ignore your need because that is who God is. So never stop bringing your concerns to God. Because if it's important to you, it's important to God. I'm going to tell you a story about a little girl named Amy. She was the youngest child in her family, and mum and dad had decided they would not have any more children, and dad had a vasectomy. But Amy desperately, desperately wanted a little sister, and she fervently prayed every night for God to give her a baby sister. Now, mum and dad didn't quite know what to do because she was pretty little, and she didn't have all the full story, but they let her pray. And a few months later, there was a big surprise in the family because despite the vasectomy, mum was pregnant. And in the fullness of time, there was not a baby brother, but a baby sister, just what she had asked God for. If it's important to you, like it was important to Amy, it's important to God. Like, that's another little miracle, like the big miracle I talked about. I don't know how you answer the question, was that God? Was that an answer to Amy's prayer? You might say yes. You might not. But if it's important to us, it's important to God. Jesus said that. if you question that, then listen to what Jesus is asking you. Let's go on one. If a sleepy neighbour who would bestir himself to help a friend in trouble, how much more would God, who loves you, listen to you? Or to his people crying out for peace in a little prayer group in a church in Leipzig? Or the prayers of a little girl who trusted God to give her the baby sister that she wanted so desperately? How much more will God listen to you? Sometimes, like the characters in that video that we saw before, we forget that. We forget what prayer really is. You know, one character in the video talked about God being just like Santa Claus. I don't know if you cringed at that, but it had a cringe factor for me. As if when we pray, we ask God for what we want, we expect to get it, and we find it like a present under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. And there was the man in the video with the long list, the list that went on, 700 and something items, a lot of requests. As if our part is to say, well, God, these are the things let me give you my shopping list, God, these are all the things I want, and they might be really good things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the things on the list. But we go through the list, well, that man did, as if our part is to ask and God's part is to give. And sometimes if that's not how it works, if we don't get exactly what we've asked for, then somehow we feel as if God's failed us. What's wrong with God? I asked. He said, asking you, what's wrong? But prayer is not just about telling God what we want, asking God for favours. It's a whole lot more. Because God is not a benevolent, mythical being like Santa who is there to shower us with gifts. Prayer is grounded in a loving, two-way relationship with God. It comes from our faith, our belief that ultimately God is the one who loves and that we are the one God loves, that we have God's attention, that we are on God's mind and God is working his purposes out for us. And for every other person. I want to share with you my take on prayer. It's a bit like what I think Jesus was saying there in that story. In any loving relationship, think about a relationship in your life. You want to talk with the person you love, don't you? You want to tell them how much you love them, how wonderful you think they are, how sorry you are if you hurt and disappoint them. You do want to ask their advice, to ask for their help, but you also want to rush to them with your good news as well as your bad news, with your plans and your dreams. You want to share your life with them. You know they want you to do that. They know you want to share you know that they want you to share your life with them. And you want to listen to them, to share their news too. More than anything, God wants to share your life, you to share your life with him, to pour out your heart to God in the same way that Jesus did. And God wants you to listen to him. Because prayer is all about relationship, and it's not all that complicated. It's a two-way conversation. It's you talking to God and sharing your life, the good and the bad, with God who loves you, who wants to hear about it. And it's also you listening to God. When Jesus' disciples asked for a prayer, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus said, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." Well, if those words sound a little familiar, they are expanded in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, for we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." So what is that? What have I just said? It's the Lord's Prayer, yes. It's so familiar. Like we recognise it, we hear it, we say, "Ah, the Lord's Prayer, that's what she's talking about." It's so familiar that it's easy to take those words for granted, to say them by rote, to say them, not pray them. So right now, I would like you, I'm inviting you to really think about the words, because in them, there are answers to the big question, who is God? The very first word is Father. And I read that as Jesus' invitation, our invitation to pray confidently, to talk to God with the same familiarity that Jesus did. Jesus invited us into that space when he put that word at the start of the prayer he gave his disciples. The Lord's Prayer is Jesus inviting us to bring our needs in faith and trust to God who loves us like sons and daughters. Let's listen to this.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Well, they might have been different words, but that was the Lord's Prayer, wasn't it? It was the Lord's Prayer personalized by that man, reminding us who God is. Reminding us that prayer is confidently bringing everything. Our needs, our concerns, our triumphs, our defeats, our joys, our sorrows, our wonderings, our imagination and our imaginings, our questions, our doubts, to a generous Father who loves us. Have you ever thought how many times you might have prayed the Lord's Prayer? I did a quick, very rough calculation last night. And I reckon I prayed it at least 20,000 times. I'd say that there are people here who could beat that record without any trouble. 20,000 times is more than enough. Maybe even 100 times is more than enough for it to get stale, to get meaningless if we let it. So I've got a challenge for you. I challenge you in this next week to start every day with the Lord's Prayer. First thing, pray. Don't say the Lord's Prayer. And every night before you go to bed, last thing, pray the Lord's Prayer. Focus your attention on the words. Remember as you pray what each phrase tells you about who God is. And then when you come to the end and you say the Amen, make that a heartfelt celebration of God and your thankfulness that that really is who God is for us. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together right now. Let's do it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Did I hear that heartfelt celebration of God's goodness?
Amen.
And?
Amen.
Okay. One more go.
Amen.
Okay. Don't ever forget who God is, and don't ever forget to pray. We now come to a time of bringing our concerns to God. I'm guessing your concerns and the ones that I'm sharing are not exactly the same. But let's share these concerns, and I'm going to give you a little bit of space to name some other things if that's what you need to do. Let's pray. Merciful and caring God, just as you knock on the closed doors of our hearts until we open them to you, now we come knocking at your door, asking for you to intervene on behalf of the church and of this world. And when we do, we find the door already open, and we find you welcomed, waiting to welcome us in to this space of prayer, waiting to welcome us in and to listen to our pleas for help. Oh God, help your church to be your church, loving and caring in the world with your love. And may it start with us. We pray for ministers of the word, for other ministry agents, for church councils, and the congregations they lead and serve. Give them your wisdom, listening ears that hear you and hear your people, and who share your love amongst those they serve. We pray for the people of Australia and we pray for our government. May they act responsibly for the good of the people. May they have ears attuned to your voice and hearts open to justice and compassion for all people, especially those who are on the margins seeking justice, desperate for compassion. We pray, O God, for heads of state in these troubled times. We ask you to give them wisdom and compassion in dealing with the things they have to deal with in terrorism, that they will not become vengeful or hold human life cheap like the terrorists they fight against. We especially pray for the people of Syria and the refugees fleeing from conflict there. We pray for the men and women and children in Japan who are grieving loss and dealing with the aftermath of the typhoon that has devastated their homes and their lives. Bring them, O God, through your people, the help they need. We pray for the people in Australia suffering the aftermath of fire and battling the effects of drought. Hold them in your loving arms and do not let them go. We thank you for the rain that we have had. And we ask that you will bring more rain in the places where it is most desperately needed. And in the meantime, will you give those suffering most from the effects of drought the strength to keep on going until that desperately needed rain comes? Merciful and caring God, we pray for the sick that you will bring healing, for the hopeless, bring hope. For those who cry out for justice, bring a sense of fairness. For those who are hungry and homeless and unemployed, give strength to endure. And bless them with loving people to care for them in their need. We pray now, O God, and we name in our hearts and minds in the silence those we know who need your love and your care right now. As your people, O God, open our ears and eyes to what you are doing in our world and show us how you are calling us to be part of the answer to our own prayers. In Jesus' name.